Welcome to GLHF, the world's first podcast in video games. Today, in the middle of the deserts of Egypt.
It's pretty much everywhere. It's going to be hot, you know?
Yeah.
Do you know about that?
No.
So you don't need a jacket? You don't know about this? Never mind. We can move on.
What are you referencing?
You've never seen that clip, that old thing where the weatherman, it's like, I don't know where it is in the world, but like...
Oh, I think...
It's a weather report, and okay. He goes, pretty much everywhere, it's going to be hot.
Is it the one where the screen is like malfunctioning and it shows...
No. This is like, she says, I'll send it to you. You can watch it on your own time.
All right.
The point is, pretty much everywhere it's going to be hot, especially in the desert, right?
Okay. I've also seen a clip where like the weather screen is malfunctioning and saying everywhere is going to be like 200 degrees.
Yes. And then they go, oh, everyone here is dead.
Yeah.
You know, and they make funny little jokes about it. You know, I wish there was an alternate reality, or maybe it's this reality, but I feel like I could have been a local news host. I feel like I would have been good at that.
It seems kind of fun.
Yeah, they just get to like riff. Nobody watches it. It's 5 a.m. You know, sometimes you got to talk about
you got to get up crazy early if you're on the morning
and
shows.
Stuff, but yeah.
And also, it blew my mind to find out, because sometimes I see like a day in the life video of a news reporter. And the women like do all of their own hair and makeup at freaking 3 a.m. It's crazy.
Damn. That surprises me, actually. I would have thought they would have had, well, I guess they probably don't make that much
local
money.
Local places just don't have the budget for that. So it's just that they're like expected to look a certain way to be professional or whatever. So they just have to do all this extra crap.
So that's why they end up looking kind of funny sometimes. Like sometimes they look like...
Maybe.
Like
they, I think
you
they
know
should
how local
be allowed...
news people have like a look?
I mean, I think it's like extra heavy makeup kind of for the cameras.
Yes. And I think some of them do extra heavy. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know,
anyway,
that's
it's
just
3 a.m. I don't
society.
Know why I'm criticizing these people. I take it all back.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of things looking bad...
Right,
so
we have something to discuss.
Help me out, okay? Because people keep commenting, even to this day, saying that my footage always looks like it's on a toothbrush or whatever. You know, like, well, he's playing this on an electric toothbrush.
Yeah.
And I understood those comments back when I had that old little PC, but I'm running these at like 4K. I'm recording it at 4K. I'm recording it at even 60 frames a second. What is my problem? Like what, first of all, it looks great to me. Like I'm playing it in through OBS and it looks fine. So are people just memeing? Are people just pulling my leg?
I mean, when I receive your footage, it looks like it's maybe in 720 and the colors are always a little bit flat too. Cause I usually color corrected it. And now I think Ethan does. To like up the contrast a little bit because the colors are a little bit weird, which could be like a Mac thing. I've heard that that's a problem, but or it might be something about the way that you're exporting it, because I know you like sync your own voice to your video and then export it again. So I would check your export settings or something.
Should you want me to read them all out to you one line at a time right now for the pod?
I don't know if that's
could.
Great
you
content.
You want to go do an OBS settings pod? One setting at a time. What's your variable bitrate set
well,
to?
Well, we can get into that after the pod. But there is, it's, I wouldn't say people are lying. It is,
I'm just saying, why then don't people, my video, I don't know if you've noticed, my YouTube videos get millions of views. Nobody complains. So what's up with our podcast audience that they seem to be like really able to tell? Like, how is it that... These millions of people, nobody notices. Like, what's going on there? Maybe now that I've mentioned it, people will be able to clarify in the comments what they mean and point it out, you know?
Because
people just make jokes.
I think it's part of the charm of the show at this point, that one of the camera angles always looks kind of
I'm not
going to
change it. I'm not changing it, of course. I just want to know why it looks different to me than other people.
Okay, so. Yeah, we'll go through your OBS settings and your video export settings one by one at a later date, I think.
And I appreciate you saying that. We both know I'm never going to take you up on that because I'm too lazy, but it's good to know that it's there if I need it, you know?
Right. Goodness, I have a lot to discuss today. I'm not sure what to start the show off with, I did want to talk a little bit about your Cyberpunk video, which
I enjoyed. Do you want to know? Here's a fun fact.
Yeah.
My biggest video of all time was the Red Dead Wires video. It was like a 40% increase on my whatever my second place one was. And this one is like more than 50% bigger than that.
Wow.
So I've now had two all time. Yeah, four Wait, how days, many views 2 million is it views.
Now? Oh, goodness.
2 million. I know. So it's another smash hit. And I did not think it would be, but it was. People love a little role play, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it because it reminded me of some of your older videos. Like, for some reason, I always remember the video where you've, like, followed all the buses in Spider-Man.
Yes. Yeah.
I like when you do stuff like that and, like, pay way more attention to stuff than anyone ever would. Because that's what I'm into as well.
So you say some of your older content, right? And there is a difference. But the newer content is the same topics, just presented in not the same way. So like it's now all like a scripted video essay, but it's the same topics, like following the bus routes is not that
For
far
sure.
away from yeah. following the power yeah. lines. So it's interesting that just shifting and giving a little bit more of that, like boots on the ground, I'm actually here streaming, we're joking around.
I mean is that there's more of the energy. Actual gameplay footage.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's something I've moved very, very far away from. And so now that went so well, maybe I'll move back in that direction. We'll see. But it just made sense.
Yeah.
For that
I mean,
video.
I always love watching people just goof off and play the game. So I am a vote for that. But obviously what you've been doing is working too. But I was curious about like the behind the scenes of it a little bit, because I know you streamed for like, what was it? Was it 20? You said like 21 hours. Did you actually stream that
long? I mean, technically it was supposed to be 21 hours. We didn't, like, for most of the sleeping time, we just skipped time. And that would have been six hours,
right.
Which works out to be...
Well,
what,
that would make sense, because otherwise 45 real life minutes staring at nothing.
Yes. And so I would, anytime I'd be sleeping, there were moments where I would have to go, like, walk the dog, because Ashlyn was out of town while I was doing it. So I'd have to go like walk the dog and like take care of life in small moments. So I would do that during the sleeping time and then skip forward. So I think in total, the stream was like 18 hours.
Okay.
It was from 7 a.m. to about midnight. And
still a really, really long time. I bet you felt insane at the end of that.
It is quite a long time. You know, I felt a little guilty for not doing it in real time. Like, part of me was like, I should have got a Cyberpunk mod so that it syncs the clock up with real life and then do
and actually,
actually 7 days.
Seven real days.
Yeah. But I'm not sure how possible, like feasible that really is. So,
also maybe you gotta work up
that.
To that. Maybe that's a future project.
Maybe we do.
This was
yeah.
practice.
So we'll probably do, given how well it went, we'll probably do like two or three more over the coming year or two. And maybe each one will work up towards, you know, slightly more involved.
Yeah. Because if you actually do a whole week, then you're approaching a Mr. Beast level challenge. Which we're gonna get more into him later today.
He did a 72 hours buried alive thing, and that's only 3 days. And I think he probably felt bad about that, because then he later did He did 7 days buried alive. And then he did, 7 days in solitary, which I think
Jesus
he said was
Christ.
Like one of the hardest things he's ever done in his life. He said it was really, really, like he has bad emotional problems now because of it, like related to it ever so slightly,
I'm sure.
Which I was like, oh. Who knew solitary confinement was so bad for you?
Everybody.
But
I
think it would be
everybody.
Okay if you had NPCs to talk to. I think you wouldn't feel so lonely, you know, hopefully.
Yeah, that's a new level, I guess, is talking to the NPCs, and that becomes your only comfort. That's
yes,
got to be
that
interesting
was,
psychologically.
That was one of the interesting things about it, because like in hindsight it wasn't a very well planned challenge. I did just kind of dive into it. There could have been much more, it could have been much more of like a challenge. Like I could have had things of like, oh, if I get to this day then this happens, and oh, once I reach 7 days there's some, you know, whatever. But it was really just like a role play experiment.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting how the just I think I talked about it in the video to some extent, is there are these like really subtle things about life that you don't notice until you notice them, like the shifting of the sun throughout the day and how afternoon feels different than morning, mm-hmm. like energetically when you're in a restaurant looking out and you see the sun is just like slightly different. It gives you this different feeling. And getting bored is really interesting because it makes you do a lot of interesting things that you wouldn't think to do, like counting. I mean, there were so many things in that stream that I did not include in the final video.
I know.
Like so many.
I mean, part of what I wanted to ask about is
so
like how
whatever.
You even found the clips that you did, or like what was the editing process like for that?
That's a good question. I mean, so the funny thing about it is when I was first working on the video, it was just going to be a scripted, like, here's where you would live, here's where you would work if you lived in Cyberpunk. And we would just basically, like, kind of what the first 10 minutes of the video was, that was going to be the whole video.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got to the end of it, I wrote the script, and it was probably twice as long as it ended up being, like, that first section. And I looked at it, and I was like, this, it just doesn't feel that satisfying. Like, it's a list of things that are, like, would be qualities associated with a life, but it didn't really feel like I had a good idea of what it'd be like. And so mm-hmm. then I had that idea that I was like, maybe there's a way I could kind of live this, which is related. Did I talk to you about that thing that I want to, the pizza shop, the Cyberpunk thing? Did I talk to you about that at all?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, there's this other idea that I have floating around in my head that's sort of like what I did for this video, but like getting much closer to this sort of Mr. Beast level of like, we're really going to get immersed in this. And there's
yeah.
so much about that. But so
yeah,
this was kind of like
a
really watered down
future idea, but
it's a good one. Mm-hmm. I'm actually really, really anxious because I think this idea was relatively easy to pull off and really good. It's a really good idea.
Yeah.
And I think other people are going to start doing it and I'm going to get pissed. So
sure.
I need to make sure I do at least one or two more before
I really wouldn't worry about
before
that
before anyone takes it.
Like I
well,
said before,
I am
it's
worried
like
about it.
it's always going to be unique because of your energy that you bring to it. Like nobody's going to be
course.
Able to make the same exact video because you have a different personality and like so
yeah.
you really
but
can't worry
too
credit. Much about that stuff.
I,
right.
I want the validation, ma'am. I don't know. I need people when people copy it to go, this was great. What a great iteration on Annie Austin's concept. That's what I need. I want them to iterate on it, but I need everyone to know that
yeah,
it came
I
from
mean,
me.
Not to downplay your originality and your brilliant mind, but people have done stuff like this before. So you really can't
never.
Worry. You really can't worry about it.
I don't think
that's
too happened. I think this is actually the first one.
I mean, I've seen videos where people like live in VR games for a whole week.
Well, who
I've
is
seen,
the
like,
goat of that, right? That person I never heard of that I looked up. Didn't he do that? He did like the number one, like what the fuck was his name? Is it Jerma? Didn't he do that crazy Sims
oh, did
thing?
He?
Was that him?
Oh,
I
he
did
the
did,
Sims
like,
thing.
The real
yeah.
life Sims.
Yeah,
that's kind of. I mean, that's like a pretty wild version of that same type of concept, right? Like hyper immersion. Though I guess it was more.
I mean, that's
for
more
the
like
humor
a,
of it.
A play. It was like an interactive play.
I didn't watch it, I guess, but.
But I mean, so anybody that doesn't know, I know some people in our audience don't know Jerma, but one of his most famous streams was a Sims experience. I don't know, even know how to describe it, but he basically had a set that was kind of like a set of a play with different rooms in it and stuff that was like the Sims house. And then this was during an era where he was like doing a lot of stuff with automating the stream based on the chat. So there would just be like commands in the chat to like vote for different things. So it was basically like the chat was controlling him as a real life Sim. And they had some goofy like sketches and stuff that happened. So, I mean, I would say that's a pretty different
okay.
thing.
Okay.
It was
I thought
like
it was more, I thought it was more, and this, you know, obviously is also a great idea. I thought it was more like the chat controls the random events that would normally be controlled by this game of the Sims. So like burglars showing up and fires starting.
That was probably true. I'm not sure exactly the extent of the automated stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were like controlling his actions, controlling what happened.
Yeah.
And it was very goofy and fun.
But, so the like that is just so cool. I think it's so fun.
Yeah. It is cool and fun, and it's cool and fun the way you do it, and nobody can do it the way you do it, and so I really wouldn't worry about that too much. Like,
you're so right.
Almost every YouTube idea has been done by somebody. I think the point is your, like I said, your unique personality is what you bring to it, and as long as that is there, the idea really doesn't matter. Unless you're like... The only thing that I would worry about with, like, copying is just straight up copying, like, entire titles and thumbnails and stuff, which people do, and that is shitty.
But yeah.
The basic premise, like, the basic one-sentence thesis of a video, I do not think it matters that much.
Just to clarify, the actual underlying reason here that bugs me is I know that if I see somebody do it and do it, basically somebody who like has more resources available do it to like a greater extent, I'm going to look at that and be like, well, I just will instantly lose interest in doing it. And that's going to make me sad because I'll be like, well, they already explored it and I wanted the fun of exploring it for myself, but now somebody's already done it. So I think I'm feeling eager to squeeze all the juice out of it and drink the juice myself and have the satisfaction like artistically of
you
doing
want
that.
The juice. And yes. I completely empathize and understand like that feeling when you see like a similar video to what you were going to do and you get like that sinking feeling
you
of
know
like
it very
shit.
Well yes,
yes.
Like, damn.
I know.
And if you see it before, it almost like takes the wind out of your sails to some extent. You're like, all right, well, I guess
but that's like, why I'm saying you have to just ignore it and do it the way that you were going to do it, because it's always going to be unique the way that you carry it out. So
yes, but the problem is if you watch it and it's not like if I watch someone else do it. Yeah, just ignore it.
No, I'm serious.
Whatever.
Don't ever watch that stuff if you like see something similar before yours is done.
All right, I'm going to take your advice. But in any case, yeah, that's all it was, is I was writing a script for a video and I was like, this isn't good enough. I really want to do something more with this because I can tell there's something more interesting. And then I kind of threw together the stream. The food idea was a thing I've had like for a while. The eating 1/8 size portion just came up right when I like started streaming, basically. I like kind of was like, oh, actually, that would make sense. And then once I finished the stream, it's part of why I'm so busy with the rest of these videos now, is it was so exhausting and it took so much time to comb through all the footage that I'm now like really behind on everything else.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's a huge undertaking.
But most of it, I guess, was from memory. Like, I knew what the beats were from the stream, and I knew what things I wanted to talk about. And so I kind of wrote the script with all these beats and then went through it and went, what do I actually not need here? Like, what's fun but not necessary? And then cut all the necessary stuff. And then I just had to scroll through and find them all. And the stream ended up being so fun and so, like, rich that it just kind of took over the whole video. And made it not only my most successful video, but also my longest. I've never done a 40-minute
I did notice
video before.
It was longer than usual.
It was a long one. It was made it also a lot of work.
And you've always said, Mem, you're so stupid for making such long videos. Nobody wants to watch that shit. And now look at you.
It's so interesting if I ever said
you've
that.
Never
and
said
I know
that.
You're memeing,
you've
but
never
if
said
I, okay,
that. I'm joking.
Because I actually am now turning a corner that I'm like,
you've
your
just
video
said
should
before
be as
that you
long
didn't
as they
think that
possibly
long videos were as good, but
they normally aren't. That's the thing. But if they can be, longer is better. All else being equal, longer is better. That's my opinion. No, but I don't like having my time wasted. You know, I'm not that kind of guy.
Right.
But many people are, and you know, that's beautiful too. That's beautiful too. Anyway, yeah, that's how that went.
Okay. Well, cool. It was a great video. I enjoyed it.
Thanks.
I would like to move on now briefly to mention Uncle Wiggily again.
Oh yeah. Always happy to talk about Uncle Dub.
There's not much to say about it. I just wanted to say, I enjoyed that there were several other people in the comments that were also saying like, what the fuck is he talking about? Did he make that up? Because it's a really hilarious concept. And it's really funny that like, sometimes I feel like everybody has something that was for some reason a pinnacle of their childhood experience that like nobody else has heard of.
Yes. These just like weird things that.
Yeah. Sometimes it's words. Like I'll see people online talking about how their family uses this word and they like thought it was a normal thing and it turns out it's actually just them and it's like crazy.
But it's also, you can never think of them on the spot, and then one day they just come up, and because for you they're normal things.
Exactly.
So it's hard to think up like what's the weird thing from my childhood until somebody points it out. So I don't know. Do you have any? I feel like we've talked about some of them at some point before, but
the one that came up recently for me as part of this next video that I'm making is, for some reason there were certain, I've mentioned this before, that there's certain movies that I watched as a kid over and over and over just because we had them on VHS or DVD or whatever. And this was like,
yeah,
I couldn't just watch stuff online. So I would just watch the same shit over and over that we just had around. So there's like certain SpongeBob episodes that I've seen a million times because we had VHSs of SpongeBob. Or like one that I was reminded of recently is the movie Daddy Daycare with Eddie Murphy. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah. Never seen, but I saw many trailers for it on like VHSs that I would have watched many times.
Right. For some reason. Oh, that's true. Oh my God. It's so funny. Like, there's a whole like world of 90s and 2000s movies where they all had trailers for each other.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, there's something, okay. Something that there was a guy who would come up and would say,
but Daddy
like,
Daycare,
there's a whole world of movies that exist as trailers in my head exclusively.
Exactly. But Daddy Daycare, it's such a stupid movie. I can't imagine that it got good reviews when it came out. It's like, it's Eddie Murphy and some other guys. I don't remember like the premise of why like the moms are not around, but it's basically like all the dads in this community have to take care of all the kids because the moms are, maybe they're on a girls trip or something. I don't know.
Okay. So it's like a funny sort of like, look, dad's doing a job, doing like raising kids. How funny is that? Like,
yeah. So it's funny because dads don't know how to do anything. And there's a lot of poop jokes, like the kids are pooping and Eddie Murphy's like, there's poop everywhere.
Gotcha. So, okay. Are you sure? It might have gotten great reviews based on what you're telling me.
I don't know. Now that I'm saying it, I actually don't know if it was that all the moms left or the dads just started a daycare, because I can't remember if any of these kids are actually like these specific dads' kids. Surely they are.
Most likely, yeah. I feel like a movie about just a bunch of dads who get together to start a daycare wouldn't have been as funny, you know?
I think their own kids are also involved. I don't really remember. It's funny how little I remember about it, given that I know I watched this movie at least 20 times. I mean,
do you know what the ending was? Like, if I tried to predict what the ending is, could you confirm if I was right?
I don't think it's the kind of movie that has like a meaningful ending. But
oh, okay. I would have guessed that the ending would have been like, oh, they did learn how to be daycares and now they opened a real daycare. Like, I feel like that's how it would probably have ended.
Let me look. You know, let me look at the
like
end.
They learned the power of, or it could have been as simple as like they learned the how much work wives do. And
I think in the
whatever.
End they do. They start a successful daycare, yes.
There you go. Boom. We could write these movies.
This is a 2003. It made a profit. We're talking, what were the reviews like is what I really want to know.
Let's see.
Oh, very bad. Very bad. 27% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Looking pretty bad. Roger Ebert says it's a woeful miscalculation. People will be more appalled than amused. Scarcely more amusing.
Even
Freddie Murphy has his limits.
a sequel was released in 2007 called Daddy Day Camp. Oh, but Eddie Murphy's not in it, so what's the point? It's some other guy.
Which, I bet you, did they swap it for like Ice Cube or something? I feel like that was a common, they would have like a big Eddie Murphy and then Ice Cube would always be in the sequel. Like, wasn't he in one of these types of movies?
Stars Cuba Mark Gooding Jr.
Oh, really? From, wasn't he in Kangaroo Jack?
I don't know. I don't know Kangaroo Jack.
He was also in the show about O.J. Simpson. You know about O.J. Simpson?
I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah?
I've heard of that guy.
How much do you know a lot about him?
Yeah, I mean, I know about the glove and the...
Yes.
And the gate.
The glove didn't fit. Okay, he was not in Kangaroo Jack. I do not know what I was talking about. I was thinking of Anthony Anderson, who looks
nothing
like him.
Yeah, me neither. Anyway, my point was, I think it's very funny that Daddy Daycare is like a huge part of my childhood and it's just like a bad movie that probably most people have not seen.
Do you remember liking it or just watching it?
I must have liked it if I watched it that many times. I remember being like,
yeah, I suppose so.
I gotta go put on daddy daycare.
Sorry, guys. I gotta go.
I gotta go.
I gotta go put on daddy daycare.
There's a scene where he's like one of the kids shits all over the bathroom or something, and he opens the door and he's like making this crazy face because he's so shocked that there's poop all over the bathroom. And that was the kind of stuff, you know, that I was raised on, I guess.
I feel like there was a real moment around daddy daycare when films starring babies were very common. Because you had things like Look Who's Talking, which was a little older. But that, I feel like you got Baby Geniuses, you've got Daddy Daycare, you've got whatever the one with Ice Cube was that I don't think was necessarily about babies. So it was like toddlers. You've got that spy movie with all the kids in it. Not Spy Kids, which funnily enough, not Spy Kids, but the
was there like Baby
Spies?
What
the heck was it called? That honestly might have also been Baby Geniuses now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was a lot of movies with like babies and then dogs. You know,
I was
like
going to say there were little explosions of like movies with babies, movies with talking cats and dogs.
And it was all in like the war on terror
there was like
started.
A lot.
And everyone said, all the adult men are off at war. We need to,
there
all
were
we have left
so
is babies.
Many talking animal movies. And that just like, it came and went. Nobody's doing that anymore.
Yeah. When was the last talking animal movie? Right. Like, not, I'm not talking about like Narnia, you know,
right.
Like I'm talking about one of those movies, like Charlotte's Web.
Like there was just one
Beethoven.
Called Cats and Dogs, right? And I think,
yes, there was. It was also notoriously horrible.
Yes. I think my mom says she took us to the theater to see this and fucking hated it the whole time.
Yeah. Kangaroo Jack, also about, I think, a talking kangaroo. So I don't know.
This, I've also made the observation there used to be a lot of monkeys in movies. Like there would be like a monkey for comedic effect. Like there would just be a monkey in the movie. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. How much do you want to bet, now that I'm thinking about it, that if I Googled right now changes in the laws around treatment of apes, that there was like some rule in like 2007 that came out, and then from that point on they were like, we can't do the ape thing anymore because they need an agent, and you have to have like a coordinator on set, and we can't afford it. I bet you it must have been something like that. Maybe that happened with babies too.
They
were like, oh, the babies have a union now, so we can't.
There probably was like a monkey agency that was doing really well in like the early 2000s. Like renting out the monkeys, and then they had to stop.
Exactly. It was like Tiger King. We're waiting for that show. I bet you it was something like that. It's like always some sort of secret behind the scenes thing.
Because, yeah, somebody would just like have a chimp around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there was a monkey in that Hulk movie I was talking about a few episodes ago.
Man, we watched me and when I was in Jersey, me and the Rummy Cowboy is his name, his legal name. And we went to. Or we were sitting, I went to his house and I was talking to him about that because he claimed he'd seen it and he was describing like a good movie. And it is a good movie, but not in the way he was describing.
The Hulk
and
movie.
And so we
or
watched about 15, yeah, The Hulk, yeah. Like 15 minutes of it. And it's, holy cow.
It's fascinating.
What a film. What a film. Really, really amazing.
It's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Shall we get into the meat of what I want to talk about today? Because I actually
Please.
Did like... an hour of research about this earlier.
Incredible. Give it to me. It's about my favorite, well, asterisk favorite guy.
I think at this point, the way you talk about him, I don't know if there's an asterisk. But we'll
no,
see.
The
we'll
there
see
wasn't
think,
an asterisk until I had that burger. The asterisk came. Once I had the burger, I was like, you know, the golden image started to crack.
Yeah.
You know, it turned out that it was just he's a Wizard of Oz, you know, the hero that I looked up to was nothing more than a sham.
Exactly. Well, I've brought
so now there's an asterisk.
To this desert location, by the way, because it ties in with what I'm about to talk about, which is Mr. Beast Land.
Mr. Beast Land.
Mr. Beast.
I've heard of almost nothing about this other than that it is a land.
Yes. Now.
And it's in Saudi Arabia.
I guess only 2 days ago. Yeah. So that's the big reveal. Mr. Beast Land is a theme park that Mr. Beast has created in the middle of Saudi Arabia. And 2 days ago, he released like his official video about it, but it's been open for a little bit. But
I thought it was like conceptual.
It's real. Oh, it's very real. And well, I've got a lot to say.
We got to send you here to make a video.
Oh,
are you serious?
God. Absolutely.
I feel like you're
not
the exact person that needs to go to Beastland.
Plenty of people are already doing that for us, and I've watched their videos. Okay. So, a couple days ago, Mr. Beast released his video announcing it. He also announced it on social media and stuff before that because people have been going already. But a little bit of background on the situation because I was reading about it. Obviously, I'm sure you guys can assume I'm not going to get super into the politics of Saudi Arabia on this podcast, but I was kind of interested, like, what the hell even inspired this location? Basically,
right. Yes.
Saudi Arabia right now, the government is doing a lot of things to try to make the country like a big tourist destination. So they're like pumping outrageous amounts of money into stuff like this thing. What's it called? It's called Riyadh season. So Riyadh is like, I think, the capital city. And they're basically holding like a huge festival every year that's temporary. So first of all, the way Mr. Beast talks about it is like, this is a theme park that just exists now. It only is going to exist for 45 days because it's part of this like festival.
That's stupid.
Like, it's like a enormous
Jimmy
fair.
What are you doing? What is this? He's really going downhill, ma'am. This is no good.
this is
no good.
This might be the episode of the pod that crumbles Mr. Beast's podium that
it
we've been putting
be.
Him on.
All right, continue.
So, I mean, part of this big plan that the country has, they're like building a new city from scratch, and they're creating
is
all
that
these
that thing
supposed...
that's like a trench?
There might be a
Aren't
trench
they building
involved.
Like a trench city or something. It's like a giant 100-mile-long trench city or something. Whatever.
There's a bunch. There's a bunch of stuff being built. They're trying to build like some kind of utopian city. Again, this is only like what I was able to find out in 20 minutes. I'm sure somebody in the comments might know a lot more about it than me, but it's a very controversial project overall because they're like spending so much money on kind of ridiculous things, and the conditions for the workers are really bad. Supposedly a lot of people, like literally thousands of people, have died in the process of building a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
So the reason that Mr. Beast built a theme park in Saudi Arabia is almost certainly because the government is giving him an outrageous amount of money to do so, to bring people in.
Yes.
The reason that he says he's doing it, somebody on Twitter was like, so why would you build a theme park in Saudi Arabia? Because again, the way that he's talking about it is like, I decided to build a theme park. And he's
right.
also like
Which
really downplaying the
happened.
Fact that it's temporary.
Yeah.
So it's basically like a very expensive state fair that's going to come and go in 45 days. But when somebody asked him on Twitter why Saudi Arabia, he said, because it's the middle of the world and a majority of our audience is outside America and I want them to be able to experience it. So he's acting like it's, like that's the location
totally
because it's like
earnest.
Somehow convenient for people to travel to, which of course it's not for many reasons. Going to
it's
the Middle
to
East
say
is
middle
not
of
easy.
The world when the world is a sphere, you know?
Right.
But maybe it's the exact equidistant from all of his subscribers. Maybe that's what it is.
So that's what he's acting like. And the way that he introduces it, his little video about it from 2 days ago is basically like a little trailer for the park. It's only like 5 minutes long. And he's saying, and he starts it off saying, I have built a massive theme park.
Classic.
Again, who knows how much involvement he actually had in building it. But he says it's supposed to be like being in one of his videos. So he's like, we have all the games and challenges from my famous videos. Like, I guess there's something where you get a question wrong or you fail the challenge and it like drops you through a trap door. And so there's like a version of that, but it drops you into like a soft, like foam pit, obviously.
Right.
So again, it's only open for 45 days. From what I've seen, because I've watched a couple of like vlogs now of people going there, it doesn't seem like most of the activities seem like things that you can do at like a fair or like a regular theme park. Like they have regular kind of fair rides. They have a roller coaster that, again, is only going to be there for 45 days. So decide how much you want to trust that.
Yeah.
They do have like the most exciting things I saw is they do have a bungee jump activity that looks pretty tall. It's probably taller than bungee jumps I've seen at like state fairs. They do have a game where you can fire a giant catapult, which is kind of cool. And they have a lot of obstacle courses. Like, that's what the challenges are, is kind of like, it's like Wipeout or like Ninja Warrior, just obstacle courses that you go through, and you have to wait like 2 hours to even do them, of course, because it's like,
yeah,
one
that's
person
what
at
that was
time.
My next question is, like, having an interactive theme park is a nightmare for like queue times, you know, like,
yes,
it's really, really hard to do that in a way that's not a nightmare. So I would, it's, if it's a temporary theme park, you gotta imagine it's pretty dull.
And there's a point system. So you play all these games and you earn points on a wristband. And of course, because it's Mr. Beast, he says, like in his video, we're going to be giving away all this money. We're going to give everybody money for the points that they get. So the person at the end of each day that gets the most points on their wristband from playing the games supposedly gets 7,000 rial, which is about $1,800. And then the person that gets the most points overall at the end of 45 days. So this has got to be somebody that's like buying a ticket every single
You're
fucking
going
day.
Daily. Holy smokes. Some poor Saudi kid is like scraping together all their money and trying to go to this theme park. Just for, it's like you're
trying
to participate in a Mr. Beast video.
Here's a question. Because it costs, I think the most expensive pass that gets you access to everything costs $60. So if we do $60 for 45 days, you're spending $2,700 for to get into the park in the hopes of getting the grand prize. So the person that gets the most points at the end of the whole period gets 1 million rial, which is like $266,000.
Okay. Well, I can't say that I'm like excited by anything you're telling me at the moment. I don't know if you can tell,
there
but my
also
the
are...
glimmer in my eyes is definitely the shine is going down.
They're
my
also hyper, supposedly
my Mr. Beast hyperfixation
are,
is coming to an end, I think.
He's also advertising that you have a good chance to meet a celebrity or somebody from the Mr. Beast crew when you go, because he says every day somebody from the Mr. Beast crew is going to be at the park and there's going to be
Those
celebrities.
They got like, hey, you gotta go. That's really funny.
There's
going to
be celebrities walking around, such as Terry Crews. And they had footage of Terry Crews walking around this park. And then some other guy that I didn't recognize. I'm sorry, but I can't imagine the type of celebrities that would agree to do this. When he said that somebody from the Mr. Beast crew is going to be there every day, I was just like imagining, like, what if they just got a different person for every day? Because surely he has at least 45 people working for him. And like, what if the day that you go, you like really want to meet somebody that's been in the videos and it's just like an intern or something?
It's like the executive assistant producer's like docent or something. Yeah. It could be. I wouldn't put it past him with how that burger tasted. You know, anything could.
So
I wouldn't put anything under. There's no thing too low for my new bar for Mr. Jimmy.
Yeah. So what I really want to talk about though is the appearance of the park, because I don't know if you've looked up any pictures. I'll send you some pictures in the Discord right now that I will also send to Ethan to put up on the screen.
Okay.
So the first one is Beastland at night. And this is what, I think this is a screenshot from Mr. Beast's video. That's actually him standing really small in front of it.
Okay, this is CGI. I will bet
it's
you
not.
Billy, this has to be. No, this has to be.
It looks crazy and it might be like enhanced, but this is what it looks like at night. I don't know if all the, I think they added some of these like spotlights going into the sky. But the vibe of it at night is it looks like a laser tag arena.
Fucking sick at night. I'll go in there.
However, I'm going to send you some pictures now from this random guy's vlog that I watched that went there. So it does look pretty much like this at night. And in the daytime, it looks like a huge, dusty parking lot.
Okay, that's what I was picturing. That's 100% what I was picturing. Here are the pictures. Okay.
It looks like this thing is built on like a miles wide slab of concrete. First of all, I just didn't even know that you could like build slabs of concrete this big. It's like the whole fucking, it's like an enormous parking lot. It looks like there's nothing for miles. Like when you look out into the horizon.
All right. I need a map. Give me a map of Beastland. Beastland Park map. Because what we're seeing here, it looks like a giant slab, but one of these pictures is the entrance. And then the other one is like a, it looks like a stage area. You know, it's like a queuing area to get in. So there's the one picture of in the park is the one where you can see, what is that ape? Do you see that ape in the corner?
What?
Like big Transformers looking monkey. What is that monkey? You see that?
Well, there's the big like Mr. Beast logo head that you walk in. Oh, okay. I see it.
Yeah, I'm talking about that thing that looks.
Yeah,
that
I don't know what that
thing.
Is. Is that,
is that a
does
Mr.
that have
Beast
something to do with Mr.
Thing?
Beast? It's like a mech of a gorilla.
Yeah, it's like a gorilla mech. It looks like a Transformer Beast Wars.
I don't know
thing.
What that is.
All right, there's no maps of this thing online, so it's impossible for me to say.
Well,
okay,
it
I found
like just
a
went up.
Conceptual image, and it is there's a lot of empty space. Which I guess maybe if you anticipate there being a lot of people going,
it
is smart.
Super
but maybe
spread
not very
out.
Many people went. Yes. Yeah, I feel like theme park design is really actually a lot harder than people think it is. And that's why most things feel like county fairs. And this very much looks like a county fair.
Yeah, the arrangement of it is like a huge like state fair.
Beastland. I got to see more pictures of this. We got to get a better sense of what the heck's going on. Because you're right. It's like all the pictures are sort of official promo pictures. So it's a little bit tricky.
Yeah, all the official pictures
also,
look better.
His logo. What is with the tiger with the lightning eyes? What? That's it's a bad logo. I know that he fell into it and he's got to just keep it now. But I just feel like that's not like that doesn't feel like him. And you know what I mean? Like when you see, if
yeah,
you saw a logo like that,
it doesn't like represent the type of content he makes really. It's just the name,
yes.
I guess, Mr. Beast. It makes more sense
Which
for like
is,
when he was
yeah.
trying to be a gaming YouTuber, like back at
100%.
The beginning.
And that's the problem. That's why he had to keep the name and stuff. Because, and that's fine. Like it is what it is. But I just think it's weird too. He's like tripling down on it to the point that now he's got a gorilla monster styled after that same logo.
I know. We have to know what the deal is with the gorilla.
Oh, look at that. Mr. Beast gorilla guy.
I wonder
Mr.
if
Beast.
His logo is even like, because I would imagine when he started the channel as a gamer and he was like, my username is Mr. Beast and this is a cool image of a cougar that I found on Google Images. Like, that's what I imagined it would have been.
Yes.
And then at
I
some
assume.
Point he probably had to have it like officially designed because he was copyright infringing something.
He has a toy line called Mr. Beast Lab. And in the toy line, there's an ape.
Okay.
I think. Oh, no, it's an animated series. He has an animated series.
Of course he
called
does.
Mr. Beast Lab. And it goes on YouTube.
Oh, goodness.
And there's a gorilla. Oh, yeah, there he is, the gorilla. He's fighting a guy in a lava place. Man, he's...
What isn't Mr. Beast doing?
He's spreading himself too thin. You know, it's not like the old days. Like, back in, like, whenever it was we first talked about it, was that a month ago, 2 months ago? He was, like, you know, he was still locked in. And I feel like he's just really spreading himself out these last couple of weeks. And it's starting to show. I feel like
just these last
I'm starting
couple
to see
weeks.
The cracks. These last couple of weeks, he's kind of losing his shine.
Just when he made that burger for you, and then now this park.
Yeah.
Like,
the burger was a real don't meet your heroes moment.
He's really...
So, frankly, I don't even want him to call me anymore, you know? Like,
oh my God, we're witnessing Austin's complete disillusionment with Jimmy, finally.
Yeah. I need a new grinding king.
You need a new
follow.
Role model.
I need a new, role model for the YouTube grind. But there are no... Who else is there? You know? Like, who can I look for? For motivation, you know, when I need to be on that grind. Are there any other YouTubers?
Nobody's higher than Mr. Beast at this point. But here's the thing with somebody like that is his whole career, he's been about more, which is why he's spreading himself thin, as you say, and starting all these businesses and shit, because he feels like, you know, he's stuck in the infinite growth model, and he feels like he has to do more and get more views and make more money and put more money into random shit. And it will end eventually. Like, his time will come.
Well, I mean, not necessarily, right? Like, it is possible to just, like, start a brand that persists for decades, you know? Like, it's possible that his chocolate could just become
but
a chocolate.
He won't keep growing forever. He won't be as big of a deal as he is forever.
No, yeah, of course. As far as, like,
anything,
a personality,
he's gonna,
there's
like,
no way.
Actually, like, just go insane, personally.
He, like, definitely could. I don't know if, like, some of these new promo pictures, it does, he is getting an interesting look in his eyes. Obviously, he's always had it.
Yeah.
He's always had an interesting look. But I feel like he's kind of got, like, he's, like, dyeing his beard, and he looks, like, a little dark, like, evil, you know? Not like he used to.
In my opinion, he has always had a little bit of an evil dead look in his eyes. Like, his smile doesn't quite reach his eyes. He's always smiling to the point where you're, like, you know, he's not actually that happy all the time. Obviously, that's his image that he's projecting. But I just couldn't stop thinking about when, in his video, he shows this footage of him doing, like, the grand opening of the park, and he gets up on this stage and he announces the fact that people are going to win this much money if they get this many points or whatever. And he's, like, screaming everything in the way that he does and smiling at the crowd, and the crowd is screaming. And I just keep thinking, like, what does it do to your mind that, like, he has all these people screaming for him all the time and, like, so happy, but they're happy because he gives away money. Like, that's his whole thing. He gives away money. People like him because he gives away money. People are going to the park because they're excited about getting money. They don't, like, enjoy his personality. Nobody gives a shit about, like, who Mr. Beast is. He barely even shows it in the videos anyway. Like, it's about the money and the prizes and the challenges that people enjoy, like, watching other people suffer for the prospect of getting money. And like you said, people are going to go to this park, kids, children are going to go to this park, like, desperate to win $2,000 or whatever.
I wonder how much that's true, because I could see it being the case that if we talked to a Mr. Beast fan, and I say this as a former fan, if we talked to someone who was like 14 and just, like, loves Mr. Beast video, I bet you they would tell you, no, I think he's really funny and I love his content, and it makes, like, I bet there's an earnest love there, actually. I think
maybe what I mostly hear people say,
we're gonna need to see, there's got to be some fans we can find.
I feel like mostly what these kids say is like, they admire his grind set or something like that.
For sure. That's definitely part of his allure to a certain audience. And I guess a lot of it is not, like, maybe as a tangent to liking it because of the money, there's a tangent of just, well, I like it just because it's the biggest thing. And so it's just like, wow. Like, you almost like him for the meta of how popular he is, as opposed to, like, what himself, like, if he had done, you know how he did that, didn't he do a, he did an Amazon show, right? He did Mr. Beast Games. If he would have done, like, a normal TV show where he was just, like, an actor or something, or just like a, like, oh, Mr. Beast, you know, goes to travels, like a travel show with Mr. Beast where it was, like, just him, you're probably right that there wouldn't, nobody would watch it. No. You know what I mean? So he is trapped in this, like, he has to continue to do what he's doing, or else it's all going to fall apart. You know, it's kind of like the
I mean, it is. Like, it's
Roadrunner Coyote running out and not knowing that he's,
the prizes are,
you know, he doesn't have ground.
The basis of all of his fame. Like, what people say to him when he's walking around the park and he has all these adoring fans surrounding him and yelling at him. What they're yelling is, "Can I have $10,000?" Can I have $100,000?
You're probably right, though. Actually, now that you put it in that way, that probably, like, really is weird for the brain, the human brain.
Yes,
like,
that's
everybody
what I'm
who
saying.
Comes up to you being like, "Give me some money, give me some money, give me some money," as opposed to, like, "I love you, thank you for helping my life." You know? And maybe there's some of that too. We honestly are probably under indexing on that because we're, like, a little bit older and kind of detached from this whole thing. But you're right that there is, like, that must be pretty weird.
I think it is weird. And I think he's clearly the type of person, like I said, to just like want more and more and more and doesn't know when to stop. And I just, I don't know. I can't imagine that he feels fulfilled with this life that he's living. It's probably very overwhelming.
Well, he probably feels somewhat fulfilled because like he does have a lot of money.
Sure.
That's got to feel pretty good. And he like does do his all of his charity stuff. And I imagine that feels like good to some extent. But yeah, like creatively, I can't imagine he's got a lot of fulfillment. I think that here, let me speak to Jimmy right now, if I could.
Sure.
People look up to you, right, Jimmy? And they, I looked up to you. And I think that one of the things that I would like to see that would really prove to me that you're on that next level, you know, that could really put you on that top tier. I think you should try to do a whole year of videos. And all the videos, you don't give away a dollar. I think you should try to just make content that is entertaining. Don't give away any money, nothing. And I want to see if you can, are you good enough to still get 50 million, 60 million, 100 million?
That would be a fascinating experiment, honestly.
You
know?
Because then we can really start to control for it. How much is it just the money? And then how much isn't? And I'm sure there'd be a big dip. But I bet you there's still tens of millions of people who would watch.
I mean, so all of his content at this point is based on either winning money or exploiting people's suffering for entertainment, I would say. Whether that's himself
usually
or
like,
other people.
Well,
so I would say you would also have to add in...
It's all game shows, basically.
Yeah, but I would say you would also have to add in like... Because if he says, okay, no more giving away money... Then I feel like all the videos just turn into him burying himself alive for various periods of time.
Oh, true. That's so true. It does just become like, watch Mr. Beast
so
suffer.
You got to take away also the suffering.
Well, he's done, has he done any really, like a video that you watch it and you're like, that was a really good video that didn't have to do with money?
I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. It all has some kind of hook that is like a ridiculous...
All right,
sensational
I'm looking up
thing.
His last handful of videos. Let's see. Okay, that's not entirely true. It depends on how you're qualifying it. Because this kind of has to do with money. But it like, what about those videos? I know you're going to be like, well, that's money. But I don't think it qualifies in the same way.
Okay.
He did those like $1 versus $100 million boats. $1 versus $100 million vacation. That's about money, but it's not giving away money. It's just like going and showing people these things. Like that's a video you could see coming out of Vogue or BuzzFeed or whatever to some
sure.
extent, right? So that's, he could lean into stuff like that, like showing you amazing things. He's done like the thing where he goes around the world and he shows off like the Egyptian pyramids, right? He did that. So there's some stuff, you know, that doesn't have to do with money. It's a minority of content, and I bet it does way worse, but maybe I believe in him. I think he could figure it out.
I would be interested to see that experiment, and that sounds like something that maybe would happen if he finally realized that, like, he wasn't actually feeling fulfilled with all this shit he's doing, and he, like, tried to do something for himself. I hope that happens for Jimmy's sake, honestly.
I think my prediction, though, is I don't think he's... even getting creative fulfill. I think he's getting further and further away from actually making the content himself, that he basically is just hosting it at this point.
Like, yeah.
Other people
sure.
write them. And so he probably isn't even like using that as a creative outlet at this point. You know, his creative outlet probably is more things like running the chocolate company and sourcing the chocolates, you know, as opposed to whatever. And then he like gets a Saudi Arabia gives him $50 million to show up for a week.
Yeah. The Saudi Arabia thing is just his day job. He just goes there and presents that. And then he really just wants to get back to the chocolate factory and like live his whimsical Willy Wonka life.
It's got to be something like that. It's got to be something. Maybe that's where he's going to end up. He's going to be like you said, he's going to have a mental break. He's going to just be a chocolatier. He's going to be a recluse. No one will hear from him for years. And then he'll do a competition to come visit his factory. He could literally become Willy Wonka. He actually totally could.
Because the whole deal with Willy Wonka, at least what I remember from the Gene Wilder one growing up, was that... he was actually like a very wholesome guy that had like learned some hard lessons, and he was trying to teach the kids to like not be greedy and like care about the love of the game. So maybe this is, maybe Mr. Beast is Willy Wonka's backstory, and we're actually like going to see Willy Wonka materialize.
Holy shit. It could be. And if you if you take, you ever see Snowpiercer?
No, I've heard of it. I know the concept.
Okay. Because people say that Snowpiercer is actually future Willy Wonka. Like, that's what, it's a Willy Wonka sequel.
Really?
So maybe, yes. And if you watch it, there are some very interesting...
Wait, what,
like
the
an
hell?
Unofficial sequel, obviously. But there are some very interesting parallels between all of them. But you can look into that on your own. It's a great movie, but you can look into that on your own time. So.
Yeah, maybe I'll go watch that. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Something is going to happen with Mr. Beast, and it's going to be interesting. I don't know if it ends up with him as Willy Wonka or him as the President of the United States, but regardless, it's going to be interesting.
Probably one of those two.
I think it has to be one of those two. There's not many other options, honestly. So, I don't know. You know, listen, one day he'll be on the pod and we'll get to ask him. Would you do that? Let's say he somehow heard this and he called next week and he said, can I come on? I want to talk to you guys about all this. What would you do that? Or do you not even want to risk having to, like,
I don't know,
whatever
what,
it is.
I don't think I know how to talk to a person like that.
Just like a human being.
If you want to do most of the talking, I guess.
But you wouldn't be like, hell yeah, I would love to ask you all these questions because I'm interested about how you feel about all these things that look so bad from my perspective.
I think I'm too blunt and I would sound really mean to him.
He could take it. Come on. He'd be fine. If he can't take it, then
the kind of stuff that I would be asking would be like investigative journalism shit and he would be uncomfortable.
Well, now he's never going to come on because you gave away what our plan would be. Oh, well.
You think after everything we've said, he would still come on the pod? Maybe.
Well, it's good cop, bad cop. You can be bad cop, I'll be good cop.
Guys,
except
like
about the burgers.
Powerful guys like to go on shows where they're criticized, though. That's like a thing.
They love it. They love it.
Because they think they're going to go like, prove way. Everybody wrong.
Okay, wait. Are you talking? Because I know there's guys, they love to go on like performatively critical shows, like shows where it's like they're quote unquote critical, but they're not. But are you saying guys like to go on shows and make a fool of themselves, but think that they're actually not? Because that's like an Elon type thing to do.
Yeah, I guess that's what I mean. Is like, on the internet, guys love to go on like and have like debates, right, on like Twitch or whatever with people. Because they just always think they're going to sound smart no matter what they're saying.
Do you like a debate? I like a debate. I'm a sucker for a debate.
No.
Really?
I hate a debate.
Wait, why not? They're fun. You get to learn things.
Sometimes I see like a fun clip, but I think I think a lot of people go into quote debates in bad faith and neither side is actually trying to listen. And it just sounds annoying. It's annoying to me to listen to.
I guess we have to clarify, yeah, what level of... Are we talking like Twitch politics debates? Or are we talking like...
That's what I'm thinking of because that's what I see clips of on TikTok
sometimes.
Okay,
got it. All right. Yes. I like it when it's actually two people... Yeah, I guess what you would call a good faith debate, I think is a very educational
thing
to watch.
I think there's
But they are probably few and far between.
I'm a very... I don't even know if I want to say non-confrontational because I do
well,
confront
not
people.
With Mr. Beast, apparently. He's coming. You said he can't even come on because he'll get freaked out.
I think I just recognize when an argument is kind of futile and then I check out. And so if I see that happening in some kind of debate content, I just check out immediately. I'm like, it's not even worth my time.
Yes. Yeah. Whereas for those people, it's like a performance. It's not even about the debate itself. It's about like the performance for the people watching almost.
Exactly. They're performing for like their side of the audience that's watching.
Or the people that I'm assuming a lot of good faith and being very charitable, but or the people who are like on the fence about a thing and they think they can, you know, convince them of or whatever. But it's.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine like if Mr. Beast. Jimmy, listen,
Jimmy,
I just think if he came on this podcast and we actually asked him any hard questions. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy to open up. I think he would have the PR face on and he would be saying the same shit that he says in all his videos just over and over. And he wouldn't actually be talking about anything interesting that we haven't heard before.
You have to have some amount of a PR face at that level, right? Like you and I both know also there are situations that we can get ourselves into that like you kind of can't say anything. And so it's like a really tricky kind of a thing. And at his level, I'm sure it's even more difficult to sort of navigate those types of things. But you can get, you can read between the lines, right? You can get them. You can get them. I'm trying to keep the door cracked is all I'm saying.
All right, Jimmy, the door is cracked.
It's cracked. He's going to have to reach in.
Our crack is open.
We might leave that lock
on
it. You know, my, yeah, listen, I'll tell you what. We'll leave the little lock on, like the hotel lock, but it'll be cracked.
Okay.
So the point is, you're not, we're not going to send you to Saudi Arabia. You're not going to do it.
I will not be doing that, no.
All right.
Sorry.
Rip.
Sorry to the audience. I do have a couple of, like, viewer comments and questions to get through before we end today. I wanted to say a quick thank you to everybody that's been tagging us or tagging me in their, like, Spotify Wrapped. I don't know if you've seen any of these, but there's a lot of people, like, posting to Instagram and stuff saying that, like, GLHF is huge and there's Spotify Wrapped, which I appreciate.
Hell, yeah.
I think it's funny, you know.
Okay.
Most of the time.
Can I go on a 10-second rant?
Yeah.
If I'm not number one, don't tag me. I don't want to be number two behind Markiplier.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
wow.
Why should, just come back next year, okay? I don't, like, why are you making, you're just making me feel bad. You're saying you're my third favorite YouTuber.
You just have to be number one? I've been, like, honored to be tagged, because I've been tagged in a couple of them where it's, like, their top YouTubers are, like, really, really big people, and then I'm also, like, two or three or four, and I'm just, like, happy that they see me at a similar level to those other people as far as, like, entertainment.
I'm just saying, I've never been second place to someone that I was happy to be second place to. That's all I'm saying. I'm sure there's people who I would be happy. Listen, if it was, if we went down and it was Mr. Beast number one, no, I'm just kidding. But if we went down, you know, and it was like, I can't even think who, someone, whatever. If it was Outdoor Boys number one, Annie Austin number two, that's fine, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm
is like,
I'm not trying to be second place to no gaming YouTubers. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm trying to be number one gaming YouTuber.
Well, you heard it, guys. Just, I guess if you're going to tag Austin and he's not number one, just Photoshop it so that he feels better.
Please. That would be great. That would be perfect.
But
Do you see any correlations? Like, other people that that you're on their list that they watch? Like, are you...
Yeah, I mean, a couple of them have made me really happy because it's people that I also really like. So somebody's... I might be getting the orders wrong a little bit, but somebody's, like, number one was Squeaks and number two was me, and I love Squeaks, so that was, like...
That's pretty good.
That was, like, I'm happy that I'm in the same realm, even, of, like, the people that I like to watch. And then other ones, like, somebody tagged me that watches, like, Danny Gonzalez and Curtis Connor and that, like, group of people.
Yeah.
And also me. And so it's just, like, it's so cool that people even, like, see me as a real enough YouTuber to... watch me along with those other people that are,
yeah,
like real YouTubers to me.
You're making me feel bad about doing is pretending that I don't love it. So I just want to say that I'm really appreciative also of all the people being nice. I just want
to
get that out there.
I was trying to just do a heartfelt message to our viewers. Thank you so much for watching us. So, and I mean, what I was just talking about was people tagging me for my channel, but for this podcast specifically, I wanted to say thank you if we were a big part of your Spotify listening or however you like to listen. It's funny that people just listen on Spotify. I guess not a lot happens on the screen anyway, so that makes sense.
Except I'm not going to see these beast pictures.
Except you're going to miss out on what I do to Austin right now, which is I'm going to whip him.
Uh-oh. It did. Ooh,
wait, are you dying?
Down.
Are you bleeding out?
I don't know. It's going.
Are you
going
to die?
Something's happening. No, I guess not.
That was your whip power.
Your whip is very, I don't know if you can see it, but
it's wiggly.
It's stiff.
Yeah.
It's very stiff until you whip it. It's like there's electricity running through it.
But because I'm the foreman in this situation, we're building the pyramids, by the way. That's what this game is supposed to be. And I'm the foreman and you are a worker.
We call it a worker.
I guess
like
we don't know if you're paid.
People who built Mr. Beast's theme park, we are workers. That's what it is. You know, you're Mr. Beast. No, we're not. We can't say that. Okay, that's in a video game. Okay, everything's fine. All is well.
Yeah, we're making no statements about the payment or non-payment of anyone that worked on Mr. Beast land.
I mean, I'm sure they all got paid something. I don't think that makes it not. Never mind. We don't have to get into this.
Okay. Do you want to answer a question? I know we have been going for a while.
No, no, no. We're good.
But there's a question specifically for you from the banana guy. I don't know if you've noticed. I think his username is Banana. He's got a picture of a banana. He's always asking us beautiful questions. So shout out to Banana. We love you.
Thanks, Banana.
But this is a question just for you, I guess. So I'm not allowed to answer it. But it's because you said you would like to just have all your teeth out and replaced. And yes. So Banana says, if it was possible to have your entire body replaced with artificial parts, maybe in some kind of like just your brain remains situation. I don't know. Would you do it?
No, oh, and
he says,
not.
Well, he says it doesn't decay and it looks like you.
No, so you because I like same. All the other parts. I don't like having to go to the dentist. That's all I'm trying to avoid is not going to the dentist. I don't care about it. This doesn't, you know,
but
I just don't want to
like,
go to the dentist.
It kind of seems like you would never fall ill. I mean, if you're just a robot body.
Oh, that's true. That would be pretty good. But I feel like
imagine how productive you could be.
You're so right. I could be so productive. Imagine. And well, okay, actually, here's the kicker. Would I still have to sleep? If not, I might do it.
That's a big one. I think all the time I wish I didn't have to sleep.
Yeah.
Not for productivity reasons, but because I have trouble sleeping and it drives me crazy.
Yes, it's really annoying. Sleep, it's not a fun thing to try to do every night.
Yeah.
The teeth is an obvious one. Like, there's a huge upside and not a lot of downside. But I guess it depends on how long the healing process is for, like, replacing all my organs. I can't imagine it's quick. But you probably make that time up in terms of longevity, you know? Like, if
yeah,
I live an
I
extra
mean,
5 years, but the healing process is 5 years, then I guess it's a
my
net positive.
My rules, I guess, for this is... It would have to be somehow connected to my flesh brain, my actual brain.
Yeah.
As opposed to some situation where they're transferring my consciousness into a robot body, like do in Alien Earth. Because in my mind, similar to the conversations we've had about teleportation, I think that would mean that current me would die. And that this would be some kind of new version of me that I wouldn't even... My consciousness would not continue into it. Like, I wouldn't even know what was going on with that. So,
but it would think it had, right?
It would think it had.
But you,
but current me,
which you don't consider that,
would not be experiencing
would
that.
Not. It, yeah. And then we got to get that. Who's that mustache guy who's doing all the philosophy videos? We got to get him to talk about this. This is the whole.
But
whole
so
other
if
situation.
The robot video, if the robot body was connected to my actual flesh brain. And I knew that it was like an established procedure and it was going to work. I think I definitely would do it because, I mean, I'm terrified of getting hurt or dying. If that, like, if I know it works, I would absolutely do that.
Yeah. I don't know. You don't ever want to die.
He said it doesn't decay and it looks like you. So it's like no different except you don't have any bodily problems.
I don't know that. Eternal life is any less terrifying than just dying, though.
I like how at the end of this podcast we're getting into whether we want to live forever.
It's an important question.
I guess I don't know. Like,
do you are because like it, with the idea of just going forever seems kind of equally terrifying. Like, there's no way out. Is all I'm saying. We're screwed regardless. It's like no matter
for sure, but at least
is true or not.
At least how I think about it now. I would like my life at least to be longer. Until
500
I like
years, sure.
Because you can always decide if you're really done and you want to check out, just unplug
that's
yourself
a good
or
point.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe.
And
that
I do
is
feel like a
then.
Lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people that are like 100-something years old and they're like they've accepted that it's their time and they don't want to be here anymore. But then a lot of them just say it's because like they're old and everything hurts. Like, I wonder if they would still be saying that if they felt perfectly fine. Maybe not.
Almost certainly,
you know?
Not, right? Like, it's got to be the exhaustion of living in an aged body that causes that. So.
Like, I don't know. I do think I would like to live at least a couple hundred years before I got tired of it.
Well, I got bad news.
Listen, I've lived my whole life since I was a kid thinking Maybe they'll just invent this technology before I go. They just have to do it before.
I mean, unironically, they could. I could see a world in the next like 50 odd years where we get some kind. I mean, you know, who's that freaky guy? The old guy who's not old. I mean, he is old.
Yeah.
Brian Johnson, you know.
There's already people freezing themselves.
I don't know if he's
going to
be the one to figure it out, but.
We got to end this episode. But did I tell you about the? I went on this rabbit hole looking at this website for this company, and I think there's multiple companies that will cryogenically freeze you at the end of your life in hopes that they will invent the technology to revive you in the future. But I literally, I was reading this website and it said, you know, as you would imagine, the only chance of this working without brain death is that they would have to freeze you basically while you're still alive. Because
So you kind of got to do it a little early.
But this website, this is real. And this is a thing that you can pay a bunch of money to sign up for. The website says like the procedure is fatal. They say that.
Interesting. So it's.
And I don't even know if they've done it yet or if it's just something that people are signing up for the future. Because right now it's like you can just like give them hundreds of thousands of dollars to have this happen to you at some point. So I don't know if they've actually frozen anybody yet.
I mean, it's got to be less than 1%, right? That this ends up working.
I mean, I think it's basically zero.
Yeah.
Because there's so much. I mean, we have no idea if anybody can come back from being frozen. Like, that's so ridiculous. I guess it happened in Encino,
man. Gotten really cold before. Like, there have been people who've gone out and fallen asleep in the snow and stuff, and then were, like, dead, but then they came back. Maybe that's different, but we got to get... there's too many people we need to talk to. We need a YouTube doctor. So many questions.
Anyway, poor Ethan's been editing for too long. We got to shut up.
Okay.
Can you hit me back, like, for fairness sake, because I whipped you?
I don't know if
there's,
I
like,
can.
There's, like, a punch button. Like, just click.
Oh, I punched the foreman. I'm going to get fired.
Yeah, just kill me. Wait, what? You're losing health, too, just from punching me.
A little bit, yeah. Well, it's because, you know, oh, my God, I killed the foreman. I'm free. I'm free.
Come back.
Wahoo. Oh, man, that was a far jump.